WNSG, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I've got my new backdrop. It's football season around here. We have a Raven scratch-offs, and that we're still talking about the pass for cash. And I had a great conversation with John Martin about, what if we go to the AFC Championship game? Do Ravens winners get to throw football? Yes, they do. I don't know what happens if they lose, but either way, there are no losers when you come out and you support the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Actually, the purple O-snaps that I'm going to be giving away. We'll have the schedule up as we enter the new year. I have some new ideas. We're certainly doing the biggest promotion we've ever done, Radio Row Week. So it's about 5-6 weeks out. Certainly, all thoughts that the Ravens could be there next to us, along with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. And I still got to get my oil changed. I just haven't been doing a lot of driving here. Luke, you know, it's a weird week, right? Like they every day felt like a Sunday, and then there's Christmas, and then we pray, we eat, we watch football, we pray a little more, and then things go well and you win. And then it's a short week all of a sudden. And for you, certainly covering the team and being out there, knowing how that gets crunched, you know, 7 days becomes five when you got to fly back from the West Coast. There were some thoughts about flexing the game and all of that. I know Christmas was last week, but spirits are bright, aren't they? And Owings, I mean, I smell all of this coming out of these press conferences that I remember this. And I also smell it coming out of Cleveland and watching Joe Flacco's act there in front of a locker and saying, I remember Ray Lewis. I remember all of this and the revelry around how good this football team can be and how, and I'm writing my columnist on this week. They'll break your heart quick, but man, when it's high, when Big Truss is trussing, and you know, when Steve McNair is Air McNairing, and when Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed are defensing on you. And I think as we get into it with this campaign, what Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen and where they are with Justin Madubuike and all these great players, it's time to win a Super Bowl, as you and Brian Billick pointed out earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, every team around the National Football League has been at it for 5 months now straight. You know, they started in late July. You know, you have a couple brief respites here and there. You get the bye week. You get a few days at the end of the preseason. But it's been 5 months of the grind, right? I mean, Marshall Yanda famously coined the phrase, embrace the grind. So many years ago, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And the Ravens and those select teams around the NFL who have that golden opportunity now to play in the postseason. But more than that, for the Ravens to have this path where you can stay at home to try to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, it's a golden opportunity. So there's so much excitement, so much optimism, lots of talk this week about, hey, as excited as we are about what's ahead, we have to take care of business this week. And they know that they win, they're the number one seed, and they can talk about resting players against Pittsburgh in week 18. But if they don't win, then that's a different conversation. And you're talking about a different week 18. So as much as Christmas night was the power rankings game, you know, that was the game in terms of the last chance to really flash style points as much as you can. Yeah, they can gain some more style points if that matters at all this week, but it doesn't. You just want to win. As I said to you a little bit earlier in the week, you can win 3-2 or you can win 41-40. You know, just win this game and you have that number one seed and you're right back where you were in 2019, which was number one seed, home field advantage, first round bye. And, you know, if that all happens, we'll talk next week about debating rest versus rust and all that. But just the sheer probability, you eliminate the wild card round from the discussion, right? You're already in the final four as it pertains to the AFC. So it's a great opportunity. It's a chance to rest up. I mean, they are banged up this week. Dolphins also are. It's week 17. Everyone's hurt and banged up around the NFL. Everyone's tired, but this is such a great opportunity for the Baltimore Ravens. And especially playing at home, especially knowing that it's very simple. You know, there's very little scoreboard watching at work. I mean, yeah, paying attention to Cleveland on Thursday night, sure. But beyond that, you win and everything's there for you in terms of number one seed and maximizing your opportunity to go to a Super Bowl. Now it's just a matter of going out and doing it.
All right, we'll do X's and O's in a minute, okay? And Jimmy's and Joe's and Waddles and you know, we'll go through all of that, right? And who's playing and who's not and how that matchup goes. Let's just talk about where their heads are and where the heads are for the franchise, because that's what I'm writing about this week. I'm writing about in my columnist some legs of things we talked about the other day, which was my, we ain't never been here before. This is the greatest team ever. Oh, okay. Stop. 2019. MVP Lamar is now. I don't think Lamar is in the MVP conversation. I think he is the MVP, unless he throws five picks this week and two more next week, and they wind up as a wild card. I mean, season still has to play out. He still has to stay healthy, run around, not get hurt, all the things that we talk about. But psychology of all of this, of I'm the MVP, we're the best team, Mike Florio, here's a middle finger, you know, whatever. The psychology, I thought the Mike Florio thing was really weird. I mean, really weird, but that's just me being a grown up. Like, and whatever Harbaugh's psychology is, or whatever Chad Steele or guys find on their phone, or whatever they're fed to be so enraged about Mike Florio, I found that to be sort of comical, like in the end. And I'm not going to write Purple Rain 3. I'm kind of writing it as we go along here, week by week. But the psychology of I'm not hearing the MVP thing, the look on Lamar's face of sort of we're locked in, you're out there, you're allowed to be out there, I'm no longer allowed. What are you feeling in the building and from all of them? Because these were the questions that I would be asked having been in the building for 28 years. From the outside looking in, it feels like they got some cockiness about them, and that probably goes along with the strut of Roquan Smith and feeling like there's some Ray Lewis there. Certainly the Kyle Van Noy grown-up part of this and the clowny part of this and the disappointments of the Zeitlers and the Morgan Moses compiled with the disappointments of Lamar Jackson and Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley and all the guys that have lost four playoff games. Chargers, Titans, Bills, Bengals. You can go through the alphabet here, right? So I would say for all of that building up, that San Francisco thing, that's great for the fans and everybody. People are going to the game. Tickets are a real playoff ticket, and that's cool. And we're going to skip school for a couple of weeks and come back and beat around Joe Flacco on the 21st or whenever they do this. By the way, they play wild card games on Monday nights. So I had forgotten about that. So if you're planning your wild card weekend, it now we plan every day for football, Thursday, Friday, Christmas Eve, Christmas night. They're playing 3 days of football on wild card weekend for you new schoolers who had to get in line with baseball playoffs like all the rest of us last year, too, to say when, where, what, what's the format? How, who's playing who gets a bye? One team? Oh, okay. My thing for all of this is they feel appropriately cocky for their record. Certainly eyes on the prize of we've got a bad guy, whether it's Mike Florio, the media, whoever bets against them, whatever it takes, Lamar, fine. Whatever gets you motivated. I mean, Ray Lewis, it was the let the dogs out and you know, everybody barking in the huddle and Flacco sort of laughing about it and probably still laughing about it. Everybody has a different way of getting ready to play football, right? This team's always ready to play. Harbaugh always has them ready to play. They've made great decisions on personnel, on leaders for this time of the year. They all feel to be relatively healthy, even Humphrey getting better. It feels to me, and you can tell me because I haven't published my column yet, is it different or does it feel the same? Or you're out there, you've been doing this since back in 2007 and 8 and Flacco, does it feel different to you?
I mean, it feels like any other great team they've had over the course of, for me personally, on a full-time basis since 2011. I mean, it's a different makeup of a team, obviously, when you're talking about Ray Lewis and Ed Reed in a locker room compared to where it is today. But I mean, this is a football team that's won 9 out of 10. As we noted in the aftermath of the 49ers game, I mean, the Ravens have lost one game since the Orioles were eliminated from the postseason. I mean, think back to how long ago that feels, right? I mean, when the Orioles were eliminated in Arlington and swept away in the division series, that was a long time ago. The Ravens have lost once since then. And I get it. It's a week, it's a once per week proposition, but they've played at a really high level and they're the best team in the NFL in late December. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything as it pertains to January, but they're a very confident team. But you do get the sense that there's not this satisfaction to them. Did they have that in 2019? I think a lot of those types of feelings at least as it's expressed to media or anything fans are going to see on Ravens Wired or anything like that. Yeah, I don't know if it's any different than it was 4 years ago. They were very confident 4 years ago. But, you know, I think you take the lessons of 4 years ago, you take the lessons of these other playoff losses, and you hope that's, you know, that you hope that's, you know, that's toughened you up a little bit in terms of going through that adversity, in terms of going through that disappointment. So I think from that standpoint, they're in a better position. But yeah, I don't get the sense that Lamar, I actually believe him that he doesn't care all that much about the MVP. I wouldn't go as far to say he doesn't care about it at all, because I think anyone would care about, you know, such honors. But at the same time, I think he does care a heck of a lot more about playing deep into January and having a chance to win a Super Bowl MVP. So, and that's where all this team is. As I've said to you, it, you know, the focus has been on Lamar Jackson, but, you know, even John Harbaugh, one playoff win since 2014. As much as John Harbaugh has been here for so long and has all these accolades and, you know, probably is not probably is already building a Hall of Fame case for himself as a head coach, you know, he's hoping in the same way there was a second act going from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson in terms of just his franchise quarterback. He wants a second act in terms of accomplishing some things in January and, you know, start with getting to an AFC championship game for the first time since 2012. And then, you know, see if you can take it a step further, get to the Super Bowl and all that. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of excitement. There's definitely a lot of confidence, as there should be. This is a heck of a football team, but I think there is, you know, there are lessons that have been picked up that are different from 2019, when at that point in time, it was a younger team. They lost that Chargers game. Remember, that 2018 season was just so strange because they pivoted halfway through the season from longtime franchise quarterback to rookie first round pick, played in a completely different style of offense. You know, it was this weird Marty Morningwig, Greg Roman dynamic. You know, no one really thought they were going to go deep into January that year, you know, when they lost to the Chargers, even being a home game. But in 19, it was so fresh that they hadn't lost since what, the end of September. You know, remember they started 2-2 that year, and then
I flew to LA and watched them just steam, you know, like, yeah. It was unbelievable. I pulled up the box score from that game because I you know, the blubbering I did after the Peyton Manning thing back in 2006 and losing to the Colts at that point was just, dude, I watched Ray Lewis sit and sob that night. Mm-hmm. Like, so when you talk about, as a reporter, things taken away and how the sausage is made and what they'll show on, what's the name of the show? I want to make sure we're promoting it for them.
What, the Ravens Wired?
Ravens, yeah. Wired, right. Yeah. That is a made-for-television production, sure, from what I've seen in locker rooms with Billy Cundiff and Lee Evans and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis after, and Tony Siragusa after elimination games. I remember that ish vividly, like the most important things of moments of my life, when Ray Lewis said, go out and do something good for somebody. When Ed Reed's at his locker in Indianapolis, so despondent that he's discussing retirement, you know, mm-hmm, watching Ray Lewis sob. I've seen the end of all of this. They've all felt it now. They've all had a little piece of it. Lamar's had three pieces of it. He wasn't even with the team in Cincinnati last year, which I still will never, in all of the stories of all of this, I'll never find any of, none of this is conventional. Nor was it with Flacco when he's, you know, told the owner, nah, I'll just go win the Super Bowl and you have to pay me more. You know what I mean? So I don't – all of these folks are artists. If you think about all of them like they're Prince or like they're Michael Jackson or Bruce Springsteen, you come to terms with it a little bit better, at least I have as a 55-year-old. But I also understand that they need to believe they can win. They need to believe they're the best. Flacco sitting with us up on Bel Air Road on this airwave and saying, I don't think I'm one of the best. I think I'm the best. And then going and winning a Super Bowl a year later. So and everybody's still poo-pooing that. And oh, by the way, he's playing them into the playoffs at 38 that nobody said it could be done. And he's penning this crazy Kurt Warner thing right now that we're all, but so's Lamar, right? And Mike McDaniel's comments about Lamar this week in preparation and saying, like, he's been told what he is and what he isn't. and I have a personal appreciation for this, and saying, no, I'm going to define who I am, and we're going to do it this way, and you're not always going to agree with it. And here we are again on the cusp of a second MVP. But the psychology of all of this, to your point, is really how you get through it, because they're physically good enough. Strategically, schematically, they have all the talent, they have the score, they have the wind at their back, right? At this point. And if they can get through this Miami game, and I guess that's where we get X's and O's with the Miami game, but yeah, Christmas night was big, big game. They're all big games, right? Like you got to win, especially when teams are chasing you. And when you start to feel like Patrick Mahomes is no good and Josh Allen might not even get there, and Joe Flacco, bring him in. He's 100 years old. We'll break him in two. Like all of that, however they feel about those games on the 21st, 28th of the month, and I've got it all boxed out so I can watch it on television and have send you down. And I look at it and say, having the month off, they haven't handled it well when they've had it, right? That's been a problem here. But that doesn't mean you don't want to do it. And that doesn't mean they won't handle it better. And that doesn't mean they don't have better leadership all the way around. And that when the bell rings on that Saturday or Sunday, 3 weeks from now, but first things first, Miami and the second best team again, right? And if they're the second best team in the AFC and they're the best team now and they're the best offense now, depleted perhaps with their wide receivers, but this would be the ultimate sort of exclamation point. But lose by decimal points at 4:15 on Sunday, and we go into a whole different conversation about cocky, can't win the big game, pissed it away, like all the things that Peyton Manning had to deal with till he won once, right? And then he won twice as an old guy. And all the things that Flacco dealt with. Flacco won once. They were good enough to win six times. 6 times in a row, they were good enough to maybe win, maybe not the year he was hurt, the Ed Reed Indianapolis year. I'll give you that they weren't good enough in January to win, but they were good enough to win, and he only won once. That's how hard it is to do. The Ravens have been good enough to win maybe twice, three, out of these all these years with Lamar to really beat Patrick Mahomes, like really for real, and win those games. They couldn't even win the ones that were in front of them. So it's obvious they weren't good enough. But in 19, they were. This feels, and I'll keep going back to this, a theme of this one. Is this different? And how is it different? Why will I be encouraged to write Purple Rain 3 on February the 13th when the parade's going through town here before Valentine's Day? Which, hey man, if you go up to Hollywood Casino and you want to bet on it right now, the money's on the Ravens right now. I'm trying to navigate this, but I do feel like they have, from the outside, if I'm punditing here, and God forbid I'd pick against them and be their local Mike Florio, but I have sneaking suspicion based on what I've seen that I think they'll hold their water against the Dolphins this week. And I think part of it's the depleted nature of the Dolphins. If you take the wings away from the Dolphins, it's harder for them to fly. I think the weather's going to be decent enough to play good football, which I like to see a good football game, but sloppy games are inevitable this time of the year that sort of mess with the game. But it doesn't feel like it's going to be that game, that kind of game. Chilly, fine, but that they can go out and operate and run an offense, run a defense. It's a fascinating football game with all the pieces. And the biggest story going into all of this is a short week for us, regular week for them, but they have some real injury problems that, quite frankly, ours feel temporary. Theirs feel like they're going to have to go play a game 2 weeks from now, and we don't if we can win this game.
I mean, it's the time of year, everyone's banged up. I mean, going back to what you were talking about in terms of just where this team is, the idea that kept popping in my head in the aftermath of the 49ers game is you don't want the win in San Francisco on Christmas night to be the high water mark of the season. You don't want that to be the pinnacle of the season because that means that January probably didn't go the way you wanted it to. Same thing applies for this game against Miami, which, as I said, forget about style points. This is a this game can be as ugly as can be. And if the scoreboard shows you having one more point than the Dolphins, then it's fine. It's beautiful then because you're the number one seed and you can rest up and you can watch everyone else duke it out in week 18, wild cards and all that stuff. And then the wild card round itself, watch that. So, as it pertains to the game, this is a Dolphins team. And I said this in some of our previous conversations. I have not minced any words about it. I am still not convinced the Dolphins are an elite team. They're a good team. Let's be very clear about that. I'm not saying that they're fraudulent in that sense, but it is a team that you kind of look at where they were early in the season, putting up insane point totals. Everyone remembers what they did against the Denver Broncos, who, wow, they're kind of a mess, just as an aside. Yeah. But, it's a Dolphins team that they're dealing with some injuries on the offensive side of the ball. I think the players that were missing from practice early in the week, Jalen Waddle's the big one right now with the ankle. Hill's going to play. I would assume we're going to see Mostert and Achane. The Dolphins are interesting in the sense that they have this label of being cute, right? Being a finesse team. And when you look at how their passing game operates, I'll hear that, right? I mean, the speed they have is absurd. I mean, Tyreek Hill, even the Ravens defense right now, Mike McDonald is having some restless nights in terms of how do you cover Tyreek Hill? Because he's that unbelievable at the wide receiver
They're going to
position.
frustrate you more than beat you up.
Yeah. But I think what's also interesting is as much as that's the Dolphins' calling card, that's their identity, so to speak, go look at the year Raheem Mostert's had running the football. Go look at what Devon Achane has been able to do when he's been healthy. I mean, this is a team that has some understated physicality to it that, there's similarities to this offense. Of course, Mike McDaniel coming from that same, that Shanahan 49ers tree. It's not the same exact kind of offense, but it has similar, some parallels to it. So I think what's going to be interesting about this game is with Tua Tagovailoa, it's a case of the ball comes out so quick. He's another anticipation thrower in the way that Brock Purdy is. But in Tua's case, because of the speed, because of Hill, because of Waddle when he's healthy, the ball comes out so fast. So where the Ravens really blitzed and tried to get after Brock Purdy the way they did on Monday night, I don't know if that's going to be the same thing they're going to try to do on Sunday afternoon. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But everyone focuses on the Dolphins' offense, and rightfully so. Take a look at what their defense has done since Jalen Ramsey returned from injury. Remember, he hurt his knee back in training camp, a meniscus issue, so many questions about whether he was even going to be able to play this year. Go look at their metrics and what their defense has done since he's been back. That defense is low-key playing at a high level. Now, it's not the Browns or the Ravens defense, but they've played good football. So, as I'm talking here, and look, I just said 3 minutes ago that I'm not sure that they're an elite team. They certainly are a talented team. They're certainly capable. So this is a case of, for the Ravens, it is a short week. They do have some guys banged up, talking about Kyle Hamilton and Kevin Zeitler and even Zay Flowers now dealing with a little bit of a calf issue. I'm not saying it's serious, but it's something in the same way he was dealing with a foot last week. And they've got some other guys banged up, but you've got a John Harbaugh has to strike that balance, that fine line between making sure you're ready to play Sunday and putting in the work that you need to be at your best, but also the physical side to that. And that's why Wednesday, they started later than they normally do on a Wednesday, and they had a walkthrough. So, they'll practices Thursday and Friday are a little more regular, but that is a tough recovery. And we've talked about this for years. I haven't seen what the numbers are recently, but for a long time, Monday night road games where you have some significant travel, you have a quick turnaround playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. That can be a challenge. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Ravens start this football game. I think as the game goes on, I think that fatigue factor probably is a little more neutralized, because both teams are at it. And again, it's week 17, everyone's tired. But how the Ravens start this football game, knowing they have this quick turnaround, I am interested to see how that works out. But all of that being said, I still look at these two football teams, and on paper, you got to go out and do it. The Ravens are the better football team. And even if the Dolphins find a way and the Ravens stub their toe and we're having a really different week 18 conversation in terms of you better win, and then you're hoping that Buffalo beats Miami, and you're back to scoreboard watching. I still think overall this is a better football team than the Miami Dolphins, but you got to go out and do it. You know, the Ravens are better than the Browns back in November, but the Browns beat them. Ravens are a heck of a lot better than Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, and we saw what happened earlier in the season. So you've got to go out and execute. So I think that's where, you know, going back to what you had started with before you threw it to me, where you are mentally, where you are emotionally. I mean, this football team knows they're really, really good. They're a great football team. Let's just say it. They're a great football team as it pertains to regular season. But they also have the experience of knowing what failure looks like when you get to the next season, you know, in January. So I think that's where you're hoping that, hey, happy about beating the 49ers? Yeah. Happy about Christmas night? Happy about shutting up Mike Florio and all the pundits who picked against you? All that. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, teams and players and coaches have been finding any reason they can for motivation for decades now. It's just that social media, it's more in your face, right? But that's existed for a long time. It was called bulletin board material, except there's no real bulletin board anymore, right? I mean, it's all on your phone. It's all on the glass as you're holding your phone. So, but you know, beyond that, they know that the task at hand, not easy, but it's very simple. You win, and you're the top seed, and you're right back where you were 4 years ago in terms of everything comes through Baltimore then to get to the Super Bowl. And you can't ask for any more than that, but you got to take care of business in order for that to become reality.
Luke Jones is here. He has been there during the short week at Baltimore. Luke, it has been a fascinating week on social media in a lot of ways, with Christmas and the holidays and people down. And we're putting together the biggest promotion in the history of anything we've done for charities for Radio Row Week. It begins on February the 5th. I hope the Ravens are in the Super Bowl. It would enhance the promotion, quite frankly, for charity. So we would appreciate that. So go Ravens as we get through this. And obviously, people buying tickets. You are out there for sort of the walkthrough day in Lamar, doing sort of a lengthier 9 minute sort of getting questions about MVP and like all of this stuff. Meanwhile, Joe Flacco is getting slimed during a short week out in Cleveland. So, and they're writing songs about him out there, and they have brought out Wacko for Flacco. I mean, everybody's handling this different. There's a lot of pressure on Josh Allen, right? There's a whole lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes right now, and Travis Kelce, and Taylor Swift, if she can write a song for them or something. I don't know. You know, and the Dolphins are kind of skating along, like if they lose this week, okay, well, we went up to Baltimore and it was a preview. We'll knock them in, but they. Last year, I mean, you know, there's a little track record with all of these teams that Lamar has not fared well against the hometown team. You know, and Lamar likes to show against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are exhibit A for not wanting him, right? Like he would, in his perfect Brooks Robinson world, he would have been a Dolphin, right? In his mind, I think. So there's a little bit of that. I see so much pissed off for greatness about him right now, and so much you bet against me, you bet against me. The same things that Mike McDaniel talked about this week from the podium in talking about him. And I still see that image of him slouched over in the green tuxedo with his mother on draft night and bleed that and all of this. And I don't know if he cried after the Chargers loss or the Titans loss, but I mean, he certainly has this passion that is very reminiscent of Ray Lewis in a Roquan Smith kind of way, where there's no point in this where I'm not going to believe there's a Purple Rain 3 until there's not, because they've proven to be prepared to play each and every week. But I've also seen these things get away. And part of it is handling the media and all that Chad Steele does and John wants them to believe and whatever the Florio thing. I just found the Florio thing to be weird. And then 3 days later, like, I'm not hearing the MVP thing. Dude, you heard some guy on TV saying you were going to lose, right? You heard that loud. You're not hearing the MVP thing. The MVP thing, he's done that, and he's giving all the right answers. And I think the brightest part of all of this is the way he's playing the game, the style he's played it in. Yeah, some passes will be long or short. And yeah, he may give the game away and have three picks, and the ball might go up in the air and you know, this thing where he's getting tackled and trying to get rid of the ball is probably not the smartest thing from a fumbling standpoint and whatnot. When you get into sloppy weather and whatever's going to happen in Baltimore, rain or shine, because we we believe the games are going to be here. We can't blame it on Buffalo if the weather's bad here, right? Or New England, or I still remember the old videos of John Madden. You know, they iced down Three River Stadium for Franco Harris. You know, when the Oilers would come to town, they would squirt water out there and ice it down on the. So none of that's going on. I mean, they got to win two football games here in January if they get through this week. And the lead story, let's not forget, not just MVP and all that. He's the MVP because he's been healthy. And he's the MVP because he's playing the game a different way in some ways to matriculate the ball down the field. They have receivers that can do that. Zay Flowers being healthy and Mark Andrews and two running backs now not being there to help them be a part of this. But and Ronnie Stanley and whatever's going to happen on the offensive line to protect him, but he's healthy. If he's healthy, I mean, the lead every week with you is if he's healthy, they can win the football game. And that's the best news we have about all of this is that if he's standing upright and at 100% on a glorious 52 degree, 3 o'clock kickoff, you know, against the Bills or whoever it's going to be, that you would feel like they have a chance of winning that game. And that's the game that matters.
Yeah, I mean it's funny. You just spent so much time talking about Lamar and the offense. Let's talk about the defense for a second.
Okay, let's do that.
Because I really don't disagree with anything you just said. I mean, so what am I going to say?
Okay, you know what? I'm
Noted.
going to let you
I
do
concur.
defense while I have some Royal Farms coffee in my Cole Roofing mug. It is the holidays around here. I'm going to do a little plugola, not just for the Maryland Lottery, Window Nation. Our friends at Wise Markets last week had a great, but I have leftover cookies here, so I'm going to have cookies, and Luke is going to talk defense, and all of it's brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Go ahead, defense with Luke. Go ahead while I have
Well,
cookies.
you made mention of Lamar against the Dolphins, and look, Lamar was brilliant against the Dolphins last year in week two. That was a 42-38 football game. I mean, he had long touchdown, what, a long touchdown run, long touchdown pass. I mean, he put up great numbers in that game. It was Mike McDonald's defense that, as we've come to know what a Mike McDonald defense looks like, was very un-McDonald-like, right? I mean, they completely collapsed in the fourth quarter. Not that I'm expecting anything like that from this version of a Ravens defense that I've said. In fact, I got together with one of my closest friends earlier this week, who's a longtime Ravens fan since the beginning, and you know, adores the old Ravens, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and all of that. And I said to him, and he agreed. I mean, this is the best defense they've had since Ray and Ed Reed were in their prime. You know, I'd say it's at least the best defense they've had since that 06 defense that was unbelievable and what sent six guys to the Pro Bowl. But I think for the Ravens on Sunday and this defense on Sunday, you think back to what Miami did against them in week two last year. And let's be clear, this is a much different team personnel-wise. I mean, there was no Roquan Smith at that point in time. You had a Marcus Peters playing corner who was just coming back from the ACL injury the previous year. I mean, you had other guys that were banged up in the secondary. So there are a lot of factors that were at work, but it doesn't change the reality of how tough that game was for Mike McDonald. I mean, John Harbaugh even talked about it. He was asked about it on Wednesday, talked about that was such a learning experience for McDonald, for this defense, understanding what coverages to play in certain situations, understanding what pressures to bring in certain situations, and probably more so what not to do in certain situations when you're talking about the fact that you squander a 20-plus point lead the way they did. So, I mean, it's, you know, that was a painful experience for them. And keep in mind, that happened to them a couple more times as the year went on. You know, we saw that happen against the Bills, you know, not in quite the same fashion, but they squandered a big lead in that game. They squandered a fourth quarter point or fourth quarter lead against the Giants and happened to them against the Jaguars. So I think, not that I think that this defense is lacking for any confidence, nor should they be for how incredibly well they played against the 49ers and how well they played all year. You know, as much as we've talked about Lamar being the MVP and talked about the offense, you know, the offense has had its games where it hasn't been very good, or certainly has had halves of football where it wasn't very good. And even Lamar, you could throw into that conversation to some degree. But this defense, other than second half of the loss to the Browns, and other than most of the Rams game, you know, which to me was easily their worst performance of the year, this defense has played at a championship level, other than that game and a half that I mentioned, over the course of the season. I mean, Colts game, okay, gave up a little bit of yardage on the ground, more than you'd like. Steelers game, Marlon Humphrey was one play. Marlon Humphrey beaten by Pickens, and they lost as a result because their offense couldn't get out of its own way. So that's what we're talking about. When you can name on one hand and have fingers left over of the times this defense let down all season long, you're doing something right. But this team saw, and this is where this defense should have plenty of motivation this week and shouldn't be overconfident. This team saw what the Dolphins are capable of doing to them in their own building because it happened in week 2 last year. So from that standpoint, I'm fascinated to see what they're going to try to do to slow down this running game and what they're going to try to do to frustrate Tua in the same way, trying to do things that they were able to do against Brock Purdy, which was make him look like a seventh round pick. In Tua's case, he's a first round pick. So different on that in that regard. But I think the big key for Tua to get him out of sorts is force him to hold the ball. As I mentioned, his time to throw from snap to release is the quickest in the NFL, according to Next Gen stats. So he loves taking the snap, boom, ball's out. And when you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, it's very much easier to do that. But that's good. That to me is where it's going to be key. This feels like a big Justin Matabike, Michael Pierce, Travis Jones kind of game. And talking about those interior pass rushers for them, and if you can cover downfield just a split second longer to force him to hold the ball, that's when Matabike can get there and either hit him, sack him, bat a pass away, whatever it is, disrupt him in the pocket. Because again, like Brock Purdy, not exactly the same, but like Purdy, I think he's a guy that anticipates where the ball's going. You kind of have to be if you're going to get the ball out that quick, right? You're not sitting back there and watching your receiver break open. You're throwing before that even happens. So that's where you want to try to confuse. As is always the case with this Ravens defense, lots of pre-snap disguise and even post-snap disguise. I mean, that's something they did against Purdy, where he snaps the ball and the look that they give him pre-snap, suddenly they're doing something different after the snap in terms of coverage, and it completely confused him. So I think you're going to try to do, it's the same principles, even if it's schematically a little bit different. That's going to be the challenge for them, and it is a challenge. This is a heck of an offense. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, they haven't played a defense like this. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed back in the day always talked about, hey, they don't know how fast we are. They don't know how good we are. They don't know how physical we are. I mean, this defense has the same swagger at this point in time as they should, because they played at that high of a level all year long.
Crazy that they played him and Roquan Smith wasn't even like a thought, right? Wasn't
Yeah.
even a notion in that game.
Kyle Hamilton in that game played, but boy, he struggled. I mean, they had some. I'm trying to.
What,
I
didn't know what he
can't.
was doing?
Yeah,
He'd been on campus 10
Well,
weeks.
and that's what's wild. I mean, I did a radio hit in Cleveland earlier this week, and they kind of just mainly to talk about Joe Flacco, which was fun. I'm not going to lie, but they,
How
then
did
we
that
turned
go, by
the
the way? I want to put that on the air here. Where is that? I need to find that.
but it was with Munch, our old friend Munch Bishop. But I mean, it was just talking about Flacco. But
Wait
he
till I
asked
get
me
a
about
hold
the
of Munch and
defense.
legitimizing you and delegitimizing me in Cleveland by
He
not
asked
having me
about
on.
you. He asked about you. He asked how you were doing.
I'm going to
Munch
give him
likes
hell
me
right now. I'm
too.
going to give him hell right now. That's what I'm going to do.
But he asked me about the defense, and he brought up Roquan Smith, and I said, look, Roquan is Ray Lewis light. And I say that as a total compliment to Roquan without disrespecting one of the Hall of Fame or, the Hall of Fame of Hall of Fame type guys in Ray Lewis. But I said to him, as much as Roquan's kind of that heart and soul kind of guy that has changed things for this team since arriving, I said to him, I'm not sure if it's the case yet, but it feels like it's moving in that direction that Kyle Hamilton's going to be the best player on this defense overall. You look at how far they've
And we'll
come
need to be
since that
paid
week
like,
two.
unlike Ed Reed, not paid like a safety.
Well, that's what's wild. And I said to him, I kind of chuckle every time he's referred to as a safety. One, because he plays, if there's one primary position for him, it's actually nickel. I mean, that's what he plays the most, but he plays nickel. He plays linebacker. He lines up as an edge guy. He does move back at safety. Yes. I mean, he is the ultimate Swiss Army knife that is just so dynamic. But yeah, you look at where this team was 2 Septembers ago now, that week two of the 2022 season when the Dolphins came in here and scored 42 points on the Ravens. I mean, look, I'm not saying the Ravens are going to shut them out. I think that would be, that you need to acknowledge a proper amount of respect, but I'd be shocked if the Dolphins are scoring anything close to 42. Let's put it that way, unless something has gone very wrong with this defense. And, like I said, Rams game aside, I mean, this has just been a defense that has answered the challenge week after week after week and typically sent the opposing offense home with their tail between their legs and not feeling very good about themselves.
You know, if I were writing Purple Rain 3 with Eric DaCosta, the way I wrote Purple Rain 2 with Eric DaCosta, I would say about that Dolphins loss, maybe it was a piece of that that led to Roquan Smith.
Could have. Yeah.
You know what I
Yeah, I
mean?
mean,
Like, we need to be better. We need to be better, as he would say. And we needed Kyle Hamilton to get better. We needed our coaches to get better. But we needed to put better players on the field. We need to put better players around Lamar. We needed to put a different system around Lamar. We needed to have Lamar do it our way, not his way, and find a way that's our way. And he thinks it's his way. You know? So all of this is about building a better roster. And if DaCosta was still sitting on planes and sharing cabs with me and sharing stories as he did for the first 28 years of our relationship, I bet he would talk about that game was a little bit of a wake-up call for, like that we needed to be better, that we needed to get better if we're going to get after Tagovailoa, Patrick Mahomes, who they always had struggles. I mean, they've always struggled against good teams. I mean, good teams struggle against good teams. That might happen at the end of January. I mean, because you talk about all these accolades and this and that. Number one, they played a lot of crappy offenses the first half of the season, and they played the first quarter without a lot of their best players. So there's a little bit of all of that. I don't care about any of that. I care about where they are right now. Where they are right now is mostly healthy, obviously well schooled, right? Like they're all buying into the system. They have taskmasters, whether it's Van Noy, Clowney, leaders. They have all the boxes checked, in a lot of ways. Now the offensive line and health there and just winning a big game, they have those unchecked, and even Harbaugh at this point, like, hey, dude, you're gonna win or not? Are we just gonna play nice and win big games in December? I mean, to me, it's as good as it gets. How about that for a Jack Nicholson reference? It's as good as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, look, there isn't a perfect team out there. I mean, so many people thought the 49ers might be that perfect team, and we saw how that turned out on Christmas night. So, yeah, I mean, there's questions about the offensive line. I have some questions about the running game as it pertains to everyone other than Lamar running the ball at this point in time. And that even applied against the 49ers. It's not like Gus Edwards and Justice Hill were that great running the football. But every team in the league, every contender in the league has a position group here or there, a phase of the game here or there that got some questions about. I mean, that's to your point. You get to this point in the season when we're talking about January, everyone's good. Other than, I'll say this much: whoever the 7 seed ends up being, and as it pertains now, whether it's Indy, whether it's Houston, could be different if C.J. Stroud comes back and is right. Concussion is. Issues are done and all that, but beyond that, when you look at Miami, Kansas City, Cleveland, Buffalo at this point, Buffalo for me is the big one as far as teams coming in here and posing the biggest threat to the Ravens and what they want to accomplish. But it's the playoffs. Everyone's good, right? I mean, that's why what the Ravens did Monday night against the 49ers, because you're talking about best versus best. Top team in each conference, and the Ravens took it to them the way they did in the third quarter. That's why it was so surprising, because they're both really good. So yeah, you get to this point in the season and everyone's got some injury stuff here and there. You hope not too much, but you have a little bit of it. It's inevitable. And you've got a question mark here or there. You mentioned the offensive line. I mean, what team in the league doesn't have some offensive line issues? I mean, that's the NFL in 2023. We've talked about line play, even going back to years where you and I were sitting with people at the combine and how much the college game has changed and how that's impacted offensive line play when these guys get to the next level. So Yeah, they've got some question marks, but to your point, I think it really truly is as good as it gets in terms of where you stand right now, where you are from a talent standpoint, where you are in terms of mix of veterans and rookies, where you are in terms of Pro Bowl talent. I mean, I was talking about the defense. They've got Pro Bowl talent at every level of the defense. I mean, just Justin Madubuike, Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton, boom, done, right? I mean, those three guys, if they're not in the Pro Bowl, something's really wrong. I mean, that's how great each of those individuals have been. Offensively, got Lamar Jackson. I mean, the guy who entering week 17 is the MVP of the league. So, feel pretty good about your chances against anyone going up in that scenario. But nothing's handed to you. You got to go out and earn it. And that starts with Sunday beating the Dolphins and making sure you're that number one seed.
Making sure they're the number one seed. Luke's covering all these things as we turn 2023 into 24. I'm starting to get old. I mean, it will be 40 years in the business for me in a couple of weeks. And now 33 on the air. Oh God, it's starting to add up here. But we're monitoring all things around here, and our tech service is still alive and well, brought to you by Koons Baltimore Ford. Happy New Year to you, Luke, and all of the Flyers and Phillies fans. By the way, as an aside, you and I don't get too personal around here, but it's Christmas week. My kid and his wife came over the other night, and I've had a few TED Talks here the last couple of weeks about the Capitals and my experience with the monumental sports folks and billionaires in general being goons. City of Washington's finding that out. So my kid and his wife, because of the Trotz thing and just in a general sense, aren't the Capitals fans that you may once remember in throwback Ovechkin jerseys at Winter Classics and whatnot. And my daughter-in-law has taken a fondness to Gritty, the Flyers mascot. And there's a wayward point of me moving from downtown Baltimore into Baltimore County and being on the Beltway and the Washington hockey team not only winning a Stanley Cup and pissing in the eye of my lifelong friend, who also is named after my son, or my son was named after him, but not really, but they had the same name and they always found that fascinating. And by the way, shout out to Barry Melrose now that I'm talking some hockey. I want to get one of those Buchagrass shirts because Melrose and I had a special thing back in the 80s as well. I told you my Barry Melrose story, right? Yeah, that he said Dougie McLean was trying to hit him with his purse. It was one of the all-time great quotes at the locker.
That's funny.
Adirondack Red Wings and the Baltimore Skipjacks, 1988 playoffs. You can look it up. Robin Bawa was involved in that. So, with this whole thing, there's a chance that my kid's gonna adopt the Flyers. I mean, I don't know how to say this, but like your sister marries into this, and you're already bragging about your Pennsylvania TV privileges last week and watching Joe Flacco that we didn't get down here in Maryland. Anything you want to say about this? I mean, because I've seen you wear 76ers stuff, and it's not Dr. J, which I would find acceptable, or even Chocolate Thunder.
Yeah, I mean that going from Caps to Flyers, that's pretty
It's dramatic.
pretty striking, right?
It's
I mean it
dramatic.
really is. So, but yeah, Gritty, I'm sure as my niece gets older and my brother-in-law's not of the Philly teams, the Flyers. I mean, he's not a big hockey guy. He's kind of like me, you know? I mean, I'm not I've always said I'm not a hockey guy, but
How old is your niece right now?
he's 2.5. So,
All right,
Gritty,
listen. What we're
Gritty's
going to do
probably
with her,
scary right now to her,
listen, I'm going to
but
try
soon
to get one.
enough.
She's like 7 or 8. So we're going to hang out, figure this out in a couple of years. We're going to put together a December Saturday night on Candy Lane. By the way, you have to pay to get in the park now? What's going on up there, Hershey? Get it together. Bringing holidays, bringing families in there. But I've always loved that experience. Get a milkshake, but go see a hockey game at Christmas time. I mean, you're halfway to Hershey where you live. You're already, in-state discount or whatever they do up there for people, the Pennsylvanians up there. But Hershey's available. That's a good starter training wheels. I got Tom Capps' kid at a Hershey game, and he wanted to play ice hockey the rest of his life. So hockey's a beautiful thing. You should enjoy this with your niece. It could be your thing with her. I'm selling you on it.
Oh, I've always said I enjoy it in person. Like it's the best game to watch in person. If you have, assuming you have at least semi-decent seats, right? I mean, so, but funny
The
you
good
mention
old
Atlas.
hockey game. It's the best
Yeah.
game you can name. And the
But it's
best
fun.
game you can name is the good old hockey game. How about that? Huh?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But it's funny you mention that. My sister and my brother-in-law were at the Hershey Bears game on Wednesday night. So, and my
Oh,
sister
there
had
you
a great time. So
go.
there you go.
See?
I think they were seven rows from the glass. So that helped. You know, that
Affordable
certainly
family
helped. Yeah.
entertainment there with Coco.
There you go.
Yeah, all right. See, I'm gonna make a hockey fan out of your family before it's all over. Now that I've kissed it off. Hey man, maybe one day Trotz will run the Flyers. I don't want to wish that. I mean, I was so close. You know, I had the purge around here a couple years ago where I got rid of a bunch of stuff just trying to get rid of stuff because I'm getting old and didn't need it anymore. While I picked up Pacifica belt buckles, by the way, trade one stupid hobby for another one, but I have all my Predator stuff from the first 18 years or whatever Trotz ran the team, right? Well, that was a long, long time. But I have gold jerseys, white jerseys, blue. Do you know this? I have the alt jerseys. I have crested jersey with my name on the back. Like, I have all of that. And I can wear it again now and do Fang Fingers again and all that. And I haven't gotten on because I don't know if you heard or not, but like we have an MVP candidate here. We're playing big football games around here. We got baseball off season and lease agreements, and they're building a perimeter with colder beer and more extravagant hot dogs that we're gonna. I'm never gonna let that go, dude. I mean, I'm just never gonna let the Massengill part of that go, you know? So, all right, Luke Jones is here. Happy New Year. I'm going to end the year on that. This is the last thing I'm going to do this year is, unlike Mike Florio, I'm going to predict the Ravens victory on Sunday so that Lamar's not yelling my name against Chad Steele's wishes, okay?
Well, you gotta, it's not just picking a win. You gotta say, hey, they're gonna kick the bleep out of them. I mean, that's what you have to say. That was the line that made everyone mad. Wasn't that he picked the
That's
49ers? It
what
was
I'll
that he.
do. I'll save all my heel heat and pick against them Super Bowl week when they're in Vegas and we're doing the biggest charity thing we've ever done here while I'm boxed out. I'll pick against them losing by a point just to piss them all off and they can yell my name when they run through the streets on Tuesday.
There you go.
All
There you
right?
go.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I mean, if Chad Steele's looking for a heel, why not me? You know, he could just point over Lamar's shoulder every week when I watch him on TV being the shot. So I'm looking for some heel heat. I mean, why Florio? He's a Steelers guy from West Virginia. Why make a heel out of him? You know, come get it. All right, that's my 2024 pronouncement there. I'm going NWO. All right, is that good? Did I do a
For
good?
life.
Dude, you got to go hear that piece I did with Derek Frazier from Wise Markets and his time in the local ring and his heel heat on the road and his baby face. Like,
Great stuff.
dude, as we were doing the show in Wise Markets, I'm not BSing you at all. And I got to tell Jamie and the folks up in Sunbury because we love Wise Markets and they've just been awesome to us with our Wise conversations, obviously. But as we're there doing the show, potted up, I got him, and his manager's bringing me out crab cakes and all this, and he's got people yelling at him in the store, wrestling style, because they know he was a wrestler, because he wrestled with
That's awesome.
Joplin, right? So they're like, "When are you getting back in the ring?" Because they see him with a headset on and a Wise Markets, like, "You're getting back in the ring?" He's like, "No, man, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm managing supermarkets now. I don't need to manage wrestlers." So, but are you going to WrestleMania in 2024? Can we make a New Year's resolution to get you to WrestleMania in 2024?
Possibly. Possible.
What
It's I'm
do you
because I've been talking to my brother and one of our other friends about it. We'll see. It is definitely something that is
I don't
on.
want to go. I want you to go. I didn't want to go to Paris. I wanted my sister-in-law to go. You know what I mean? I want you to go.
Yeah.
All
We'll
right.
see.
Well, I hope you get there. All right. Some wrestling conversations, amongst other things, if you're listening in. Tom Kelso joined us at Wise Markets. We had unbelievable conversation with Michael Bronfein at Curio. And we're doing like some sort of greatest hits here through the holidays and through the first of the year. So if you're not hearing Luke and I and you hear something, it's not greatest hits. It's more like crab cake tour stuff of recent weeks and months. If you missed anything, you got the neighbors in town and friends in town and holidays and all this stuff and wall-to-wall football and whack. Go for Flacco. We're the best team. Now they got to go prove it 2024. Happy New Year to everybody out there. We'll get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, doing the biggest charity thing we've ever done. We're doing it Radio Row Week. So hold on to your your reservations to Vegas. By the way, I took my first phone call, somebody saying, "Can you get me Super Bowl tickets?" And I'm like, "All right, things are getting heady around here." We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, having a fish fry. It's Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.